Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. In your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verses 15 through 33, Ephesians chapter 5. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom found in your word, wisdom for us to be godly men, godly women, godly husbands, godly wives, godly fathers, godly mothers, and godly individuals in this world. Thank you for the guidance, the direction, the counsel, the encouragement, the empowerment that comes from your word. And thank you for the many ways that your word empowers us to be that which you called us to be. Help us to grow today in our love for your word and our commitment to spend time, more time, reading your word and putting your word to work in our lives as we read and meditate on it, but also as we learn to speak your word and pray your word and stand on your word and meditate on your word and do all the other things that we can do with the wonderful gift that your word is to us. Thank you, Father, for that privilege, and help us this day to grow tremendously in our commitment to putting your word to work in our lives every day as individuals and as families. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we start off, we invite you, want to remind you about an upcoming project that we want to invite you to get involved with, Operation Tank Full of Love. It does end on September 17th, but help Urban Family Talk and AFR Ministries and Eric Horner Ministries reach out to those who defend our freedom. It's our opportunity to say thank you to those who sacrificed so much in the military. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. Help us to say thank you to the soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky this way. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers by helping to provide free gas for them on that particular day. Operation Tank Full of Love is a gift from the body of Christ and a great way to let them know that we're proud of them and how much we appreciate all the sacrifices that they have and do make. Donations for the fuel are needed to reach the goal, and 100% of that which is raised will go towards blessing our troops. If you'd like to get involved with this great project, this great outreach project, by helping to contribute to the monies to purchase gas, we invite you to get involved. Simply go online to tankfulloflove.com. Again, go to tankfulloflove.com, or you can donate on by phone. Just simply call this number, 1-877-968-3742. Again, 1-877-968-3742. If you'd like to get involved, again, it's a great opportunity for any and all of us to say thank you to our troops at Fort Campbell, to bless them, to be of encouragement to them. And again, we need to pray much for those in the military, and it's good to be a blessing to them in ways that we can. And this is one clear way you can get involved. So once again, you can go online to tankfulloflove.com. Again, tankfulloflove.com. Or you can call 1-877-968-3742. Also, let me share with you about ChristianCinema.com. American Family Studios movies are now available at ChristianCinema.com. It's a family-friendly movies on demand outlet. ChristianCinema.com features movies that uplift and affirm godly and Christian values. Some of the titles include I Am Potential, Summer Snow, Life is a Civil Right with Dr. Alveda King, and George Barna's A Portrait of America. ChristianCinema.com is offering samples, as well as their entire service for Apple TV or Roku download. American Family Studios movies and more are available at ChristianCinema.com. Again, that's ChristianCinema.com. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We read from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And today, specifically, we're looking at the topic of helping to shape our boys into godly men. And you know, this is a topic that is a huge need in the body of Christ for us to make it a high priority. We hear so many challenges to all of our children, our boys and our girls, but in many ways, especially to our boys, our young boys, things that are ways in which Satan is attacking them and trying to attack manhood, as Christian manhood in particular. And so as we look at the topic of helping to shape our boys into godly men, I want to encourage every single listener to pay attention, because each of us is either a dad or a mom, or maybe a granddad or grandmom, or you may be a brother or a sister to a young man that's struggling. You might be simply a friend or an associate, but if nothing more, you can pray for our young men. Now, keep in mind, a lot of the things we'll touch on today actually apply to boys and girls, but many of them are specifically and especially geared towards looking at the topic of ministering to our boys to help them to grow up to become godly men. So, parents, you can listen and hope you'll glean things to be a blessing to your boys and girls. But as I said, we're especially focusing on helping our boys to grow up to become godly men today as we look at our topic. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the passage we read, interesting passage. And, of course, the passage deals largely with the importance of emphasizing the institution of Christian marriage. But keep in mind, that's an important goal and important part of us as parents, a way that we are to help our boys. We live in a world where nowadays lots of young men don't have marriage on their radar screen. It's not even there. And to a great extent, that's something that the church can help change if we do our job. We should preach and teach and address what Christian marriage looks like. Nowadays, sadly, in the news, many times homosexual marriage may be in the news more than just heterosexual marriage. And it's important that we keep before our boys and our girls the important institution of Christian marriage as God ordained it to be. Marriage is to be between a man and a woman. A man and a woman are to marry in line with the Word of God. And so marriage between, or at least so-called marriage between two men or two women, is not godly, it's not biblical, and it's not something that Christians should support, because it's against the Word and the will of God. We're to be biblical in the way we approach every single thing we do. So looking once again in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to really focus on the passage. And again, listen to the passage, because everything that's said is important. And especially parents, these are truths that we should seek to share in one form or another with our sons and our daughters as well. But especially as it relates to our sons, because as I said, there are lots and lots of young men that sadly, largely because of our culture, the emphases in our culture, the things that are so lifted up and the things also that are put down in our culture, as I said, lots of young men don't even have marriage on their radar screen. Again, Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Now, let me stop here. Now, again, earlier I read verses 25 to 33. Picking up at verse 25, you may notice when you look at the passage, much of this is devoted, much more the passage is devoted to husbands rather than to wives. Well, God is giving more instruction to the husbands than the wives. So it's important for us as parents to pay attention to this because these are truths. These have to do with truths we're to teach and pass on to our boys, truths that we're to share with them. And even many of them apply whether they intend to marry one day or not. But we're teaching and molding them to become godly men that honor God in every area of life. So notice specifically the instruction God gives to husbands. Again, and every husband listening, you should pay close attention to God's instructions to us as husbands, but also parents. These are truths we need to teach our boys about what a godly husband and a godly man is to look like. Starting at verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, a huge need in the church is to lift up the God-ordained and God-created institution called marriage as God ordained it to be. Marriage is to be between a man and a woman, and they're to leave dad and mom. And in fact, one of the purposes of the marriage ceremony is to demonstrate to the community that this young man and this young woman are leaving dad and mom and coming together to form a new family, a new home, a new union in Christ Jesus. So even the marriage ceremony itself is to be glorifying and honoring to the Lord. So I would say I would encourage you, always encourage your children to consider having a marriage based on a Christian marriage based on the Word of God. And it doesn't mean, it by no means says that civil marriages are not valid. I'm not saying that at all. But remember, the purpose of the marriage ceremony is to lift up Jesus Christ through this union. And it can be done especially in an especially fruitful way in the context of a Christian church and a Christian wedding. So it's especially glorifying to the Lord when it's done according to the word, the precious word of God. But also in this passage, amongst other things, it says that a man is to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amongst other things, part of what that means is don't live with your in-laws. Now, the fact is, maybe sometimes, from time to time, it may be such that a couple might need to do it for a little while. But for years and years, no. The man is to establish a home, and he's to be a good provider, amongst other things. And we'll talk about that a little further. But keep in mind, our goal is to be biblical in the way we do what we do. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the fact that your word gives us much instruction so that we can know what a Christian marriage should look like, and we can know how to help mold our boys to become godly men that will grow up to become godly men, godly husbands, godly dads as well. Help us to be faithful, and help us to make it a priority to seek to do all we can to mold our boys and our girls to grow up to become godly men and godly women. But help us to be strategic, wise, and effective in the way we teach, train, guide, and direct our boys to be the kind of men you want them to be, men that love you, that love your word, that are given to prayer, who seek you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, men who are men after your own heart. We thank you, and we praise you, Lord, for this opportunity. Help us to be very, very fruitful vessels doing this in your will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
G just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Let me say this from the beginning. Anytime God is calling us to do something that we don't want to do, He has to get stern with us before we'll ever move. Whatever that looks like and however that plays out, one thing is certain. God will never force you to do anything. Think about it. In terms of your personal relationships, you don't want a relationship with someone because they feel obligated. You want a relationship with them because they want to be in one. It's the same way with the Father. He wants sons and daughters who want a love relationship with Him above obedience. We don't obey because we have to. We obey because we get to and we want to. Choose to join Him in the work of saving the lost because we love Him and we are devoted to Him. He'll never force you, but He'll definitely compel you to come. Choose wisely, my friend. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Praise is my weapon.
He promised victory.
He promised. Smith.
The music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. You're on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of helping to shape our boys into godly men. Again, this needs to be a high priority for the church. The reality is there are lots of churches that really don't have a whole lot of boys or men in them. And one of the needs is for us as the church to make it a priority to go out and reach and specifically minister to them. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, tell us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Time and time again in the Word of God, God gives us instruction as parents to mold and shape and help our children to grow up to become the godly individuals the Lord wants them to be. And so as we're looking at, especially at Ephesians chapter 5, again, verses 15 to 33, this passage lays out some very important insights for us about truths that we need to teach our sons to help them to grow up to become godly men. Now, keep in mind, much of it talks about, it's addressed towards Christian husbands. But keep in mind, a number of these have to do with characteristics that men are to possess, whether they're single or married, but they particularly focus on helping men to be Christian husbands. So as we look at some of these specific needs, remember, these are things that we as Christian men, Christian husbands, are to seek to live by. But also, parents, these are things we need to teach our boys to aspire to be, to seek to live out in their lives. Number one, we're to teach our boys that they desperately need to get saved. They need to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their lives and allow Christ to basically to take their lives and to make them what they need to be. The most important decision we make in life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's never to be overlooked. The fact is, it's good to be good men and good women in the world, or at least to try to be that. But remember, it's important to give your heart to Jesus Christ. No one's going to heaven that has not done that. If you want to leave this world and go to be with God forever and ever in heaven, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we need to teach our boys, well, obviously our boys and our girls, the most important decision they need to make in life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. The Word of God lets us know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Parents, we're wise to share the plan of salvation with our children often and invite them to pray a salvation prayer on a regular basis at home, because if they've not been saved, they may very well get saved as you invite them to make this step in their lives at home. Now, if they've already committed their hearts to Christ, you can pray it as a rededication prayer, but it's good to often invite your children to make that all-important step of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, our boys and our girls as well. If they simply believe that Jesus Christ came to the world, that he lived, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, and that he rose again from the grave 3 days later, if they believe that and they confess their sins and repent of them, ask the Lord to forgive them, and invite Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of their lives, they can get saved. Whether they're in church, whether they're at home, wherever they might be, it's not so much where they are, but it's the step they make in their heart and in their life to give Jesus Christ the throne in their lives. So again, number one, our boys need to be saved. Number two, we need to teach them how to be spiritual leaders. Now, parents, it's important that we understand, the steps in helping our children to grow up and grow strong in their walk with God. It's critical, parents, for us to teach our children spiritual habits. We need to teach our children how to read the Word of God every day. I often encourage the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. We should teach that to our boys and our girls. But teaching and training them to read the Word daily is very, very important. Parents, we're very wise to help our young children by asking them to come into the living room, come into the kitchen, come into the room, and sit down and read for Dad, read for Mom, read 3 chapters out loud. Well, remember, when they're reading the Word of God, God's Word is pouring grace and peace and light and joy and strength and encouragement into their mind and their heart. There's nothing that our children need more than the Word of God. So if we're wise, we'll help our boys and our girls to do that, to read God's Word, and teaching and training them by having them to read out loud to us every day. Parents, money could never buy the good that will do for our children. So make it your goal to do that. And for parents that say, well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time. parents, this is too important for you to not have time. Basically, we need to make time to do this. That means cut something else out, because putting the Word of God in the minds and the hearts of our children is so important. It's to be one of the high priorities in our life as parents, helping to fill our children's minds and hearts with God's precious Word. So, again, a second goal for us in helping our boys to be the godly men God wants them to be is teach them to be spiritual leaders. So training them to read the Word of God daily, training them to pray every day as well. Parents, we're wise to teach and train our children. Teaching and training them to pray the Ten Commandments every day is a very wise thing to do. When you pray the Ten Commandments, you're instilling grace and power in their minds and their hearts, because they're learning the Ten Commandments. But also remember, the Ten Commandments engulf basically how we live a life that's honoring to God. Those Ten Commandments cover all of life. And as we learn to pray them every day, we're helping our children more and more to live a life that honors God in every area of life. So we're wise to help our children pray the Ten Commandments every single day. So that's a part of teaching our boys to be spiritual leaders. Teach them to read the Word of God every day. Teach them to pray every day as well. Let's take time to pray the Ten Commandments even now. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us, Lord, today to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, remember, it takes all of maybe a minute and 15 seconds to pray the Ten Commandments. Parents, we're very wise to teach and train our children to pray that every single day. So part of teaching and training our boys to be spiritual leaders is, again, teaching them to read the Word daily, teaching them to pray daily, and also teaching them that one day when they marry, that they should lead their wife in reading the Word and lead their wife in praying together. And when they have children as well, they should lead their wife in children in reading the Word of God daily and in praying daily and living out what you learn. Don't just read the Bible to say you've read it. We need to teach our boys to live out what they learn in the Word of God. That helps them to be spiritual leaders. And even, for example, as your boys begin to go out on dates, teaching them, encourage them to pray on their dates and to read the Word as well. Now, some fellows would say, no, that would ruin my date, trying to read the Bible and pray. No, keep in mind, God, when you allow God to enter into any situation, God can always make it better. And now, if he says, well, that may run the girl off, well, keep in mind, if reading the Bible and praying with the girl runs her off, good riddance. On the other hand, the right kind of wife that he needs will be drawn to him, because she will be attracted to him because of the godliness and the grace of God working in his life. Again, the right kind of girl, the right kind of wife he needs will be drawn to him as he reads God's Word and prays on his date. So again, if that sounds odd or strange to you, parents, we need to grow up too. Because again, our children need Jesus at the center of their lives and the center of everything they do. So it shouldn't be foreign and strange that you bring Jesus Christ and bring prayer and the reading of God's Word into every part of your life, including their dating life as well. So teach and train your boys. That should be a part of their life as well. And then, thirdly, then, we need to teach our boys to be good providers, to be good providers. We need to teach our children to work and to work hard. We need to teach our boys especially. Now, of course, parents, we need to teach all of our children, our boys and our girls, to work and to work hard. But keep in mind, especially our boys, we need to teach them to work and to work hard, because, again, that's a part of being a man. You take care of your responsibilities, and you are prepared to work and work hard as a provider, taking care of your family. Now, that doesn't mean that if his wife chooses to work as well, then if that's what they work out, fine, great. But now keep in mind, God puts the responsibility of being a provider mainly on the shoulders of the man. So when you have a lazy man that doesn't like to work, something's terribly wrong. There's something terribly wrong with any man's manhood if he's a lazy man, if he doesn't want to work. And some fellas out there, that's exactly who they are. They're lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to get a job. In fact, some fellas, they're running from jobs. They're running from work. They're looking for somebody to take care of. Real men take responsibility. They're looking for someone to take care of. They're not looking for somebody to take care of them. Some of these fellas that are looking for women to take care of them, That's not being a man. That's being a wimp. Real men want to take care of their responsibilities, and they're looking for someone to take care of as well. That's a part of caring yourself and thinking like a real man. But some fellas, again, they're running from work. In fact, some guys act like they're allergic to work, don't want to get a job, and they may act like they're going to break out in hives at the thought of working. Well, that's not a man at all. Again, that's a wimp. Real men will work and work hard. Parents, let's teach our children to work and to work hard. Hard work is good for all of us. So as part of being a man, we're to be providers who will take care of responsibility. Then fourthly, then, we need to teach our boys to respect girls, to respect women. They're never to use the B word with reference to women. Again, we're to be honorable in the way we carry ourselves and refer to women as well. And it's important to know, too, again, that's a part of being a man. Real men will respect and be gracious towards women. Part of our responsibility is being just that. Also, keep in mind, a part of respecting women is understanding that, too, that part of our responsibility is to respect them when it comes to sexual purity as well. Real men will understand that they're not to be involved with any woman sexually outside of marriage, not until they've won her heart and won her relationship in Christian marriage then. But the fact is, it's important to know that's a godly man's perspective, to not be involved with any woman until she has become his wife, period. Now, for those that would say, well, that's old-fashioned, well, then you're not looking at the Word of God. God's Word doesn't become old-fashioned. It's always right. It's always correct. It's always in season, in every time, in every era in life. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Sex is for married men and women. It's not for anyone else. And so when men and women who are not married to one another and get involved in a sexual relationship, it's sin. It's against the will of God, no matter how close you might be. And for people that live together and aren't married, then they're living in a sinful relationship. Because, again, unless they're married, then they do not honor God by having a sexual relationship. So we've got to look to the Word of God to give us direction there. Real men, again, will respect women and, again, respect them in that regard. So that's a part of being a godly man. You respect women. And a man's place is one of protection and looking out for women. It's not one of abusing and misusing women also. And real men don't hit or beat up on women. It's tragic to see how often you find fellas that will get mad at a girlfriend, or even husbands that get mad at a wife and will hit them. Well, remember this. Real men protect and look out for women and girls. They don't beat up and hit girls. Wimps do that. Real men will protect women and look out for them. They don't beat up on them and abuse them physically in that regard. So it's important for us to know and understand that's a part of being a godly man. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us as men to carry ourselves in such a way that we live to be wise and faithful providers and protectors of women and girls, that we're not abusive, that we're not in any way predators, but actually men that look out for, to take care of, and protect women. Lord, help us more and more to be faithful, to live that as men, but help us as parents to be wise enough to mold and shape and teach and train our boys that the place of men is one of protection towards girls and women, one of providing, one of looking out on their behalf, not taking advantage of them or misusing them or abusing them, but looking out for them. Father, more and more help us to be faithful as the church, to mold and shape and help our men to be godly men in every area of life, in every way. Lord, help us more and more to know that those are the kind of men you're calling us to mold and shape for the world. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker as we look at the topic of helping shape our boys into godly men. We'll be right back.
It's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
When it comes to fixing a car or an appliance, if a man doesn't follow directions, his efforts to make things better are likely to make things broken. Dr. Tony Evans explains how the same thing can happen with a man's family as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
What we've got to do is back up and look at the origin of the family. Who made it and why did he make it? And how did he make it? We've got to look at what God had in mind, because family is God's idea and anything God made was good. So if you've got a bad family, it's because you've turned God's idea into your idea. You've turned God's plan into your plan. We're following somebody else. We're marching to somebody else's drumbeat. Many of us as men are not leading our families because we've left God and followed the crowd. Many ladies are no longer what God has called them to be because they're marching to somebody else's definition of what it is to be a wife and a mother. Let's go back and do what they do when you go to the drugstore and you get a prescription. Often you'll see, for best results, follow the directions. And if you want best results in your family and in your home, follow the directions. Guess what? The manufacturer knew what he was doing when he packaged the product. It's amazing to hear people talk today. People expect not to make it. They expect to see families deteriorate. If there's something wrong with family, there's something wrong with us. When God created family, he knew what he was doing.
You can find those directions for yourself or the man in your life in Dr. Evans' bestseller, Kingdom Man. It's available at TonyEvans.org, along with study guides, leaders' guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The music of Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 33, and specifically focusing on the topic of helping to shape our boys into godly men. And remember, that's the responsibility of every believer in the body of Christ. Obviously, it's the responsibility of Christian dads and moms, but also it's the responsibility of Christian granddads and grandmoms and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters in Christ, because all of us can pray for our children and the youth in our communities and in our churches, but all of us have a place to play as well. But especially we as parents, we have to be very deliberate in teaching and training our children in certain areas and certain aspects of their lives and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been looking at specific things we're to pursue doing in the lives of our boys to be helping to shape them into godly men. We've already pointed out that, number one, they need to be saved. Number two, they need to be taught and trained to be spiritual leaders who pray daily, who read the Word of God, who obey the Word. And when they begin to move towards marriage, they bring that into their relationship, in their dating and courtship relationship as well, praying and reading the Word of God. And when they start a family, reading the Word of God and praying in their home should be a natural part of the life of that family, that marriage, and that home. And thirdly, they're to be providers. Again, we're to teach our boys to work and to work hard. Again, one of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man. Now, it's sad to run into a lazy man or a lazy woman, but there's something sadder about a lazy man that won't work, doesn't want to work, is running from work. Something's very unmanly about a man that's just lazy. And then fourthly, then, teach our boys to respect women. Don't use ugly words to refer to women. Women are not dogs, and we're not to refer them that in any regard towards being that. But also, we're to teach our boys, don't hit girls. Don't beat up on girls. Real men don't do that. Real men protect girls and women. They look out for them. We provide protection and just are looking out for their welfare as opposed to men that will beat up on and abuse women. So again, if you know a man that he beats up on his girlfriend or a friend or a wife, he's a wimp. And he needs to come to know Jesus and begin to carry himself like a real man. Real men don't beat up and hit women. And then finally, then, we're to teach our boys to be good role models. As men, we're to carry ourselves in such a way that in our marriage relationship and in our family, our wives and our children can look to us to know what it means, what it looks like to be a Christian. Our wives and children should be able to see us as a good role model. And of course, not necessarily perfect. The only perfect role model we have is Jesus. But as men, we're to be striving to be a good role model so that our wives and children can look at us and see what a real Christian looks like in our actions, our words, our attitude, the way we carry ourselves as well. We're to seek to live in such a way that our children can see Jesus in us and will want to walk like Jesus as they follow us as well. Parents, it's always important for us to be role models before our children. I'm reminded of a story of a young mom that she brought her 6-year-old son onto a train one day. And 6 years old and up, you had to pay, but younger than 5 years old and younger, the children were free. And so she told her 6-year-old son to tell the conductor when he walked down the aisle, to tell him that he was 5 years old. So the conductor walked down the aisle and saw the young man. He said, "Young man, how old are you?" The young man looked up and smiled real big and said, "I'm 5 years old." And the conductor said to him, "My, you're a big little boy to be 5. How long before you be 6? The young man said, "As soon as I get off this train." Well, all his life, this young man will remember, "Mama told me to lie and we got caught." Well, again, it's better for us as parents to teach our children, tell the truth. Because parents, if we teach and train our children to lie to other folks when they're young, they'll learn how to lie to us too. They'll learn how to be dishonest to us as well. So again, we should never teach or train our children to do wrong. We should teach and train them to do the right thing, even if it costs a little money. Again, honesty is the best policy. So teaching and training our children to do the right thing in all circumstances is so important. And carrying ourselves in such a way that, again, they see Jesus in our lives as well. Reminded of the instance where a 7-year-old went to church one day and he saw a particular gentleman who he remembered his dad talking about. And he walked up to the gentleman and just started walking, making circles around and around and around, looking him up and down, looking him up and down. And the old gentleman noticed the little boy walking around and finally said, "Boy, what are you looking at?" And he said, my daddy said you was two-faced, and I was looking for your other face. Well, of course, this little boy heard something he wasn't supposed to hear. Dad had said something he had no business saying, and the little boy was listening. Parents, our children are always listening. They are always listening. They're always listening. Even when you think they're not, they are listening. So it's important that we carry ourselves in such a way that our children can look to us as good role models. Again, we may not be perfect, but we should be striving to be just that. So as we work towards, again, helping our boys to grow and to become godly men, that's to be a goal in our lives every single day. You know, in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, there are many truths and insights and stories found in the Word of God that help to paint a clear picture of what a portrait of sorts of what a real man or a godly man really looks like. They specifically paint a picture that we really can follow as we hear it and obey it. So as men, we're to live that way, and we're to teach and train our boys to live that way as well, hearing and following the Word of God. Now remember, the only perfect role model, as we've stated, is Jesus. But men, we can always be working towards doing better. There are, though, individual characteristics that we can find in some of the men in the Bible that are characteristics to be desired, to be sought after. And so that should be a goal, but make it your goal to live those. So I just finished sharing again six specific things we want to seek to teach and train our boys in regard. Again, number one, teaching them that they need to be saved. Number two, teaching them to be spiritual leaders. Number three, teaching them to be good providers who work and work hard to take care of themselves and their families. Number four, respecting women and womanhood. Number five, teaching them to be good role models as well. But let me share with you now just a brief list of 11 specific characteristics from the Word of God that we should seek to share with our and teach to our boys as well. Number one, and a number of these we've touched on already. Number one, he's received Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. He's saved. Number two, he seeks to read the Word of God daily. Three, he seeks to be a person of prayer. Number four, he seeks to bring his family together for a quiet time of reading the Word of God and praying together. Number five, he teaches and trains his children from the Word of God. Number six, he seeks to lead his family in taking them regularly to church. He doesn't send his family to church. He leads and takes his family to church. Number seven, he has a sense of mission in his life. He seeks with a passion to fulfill the specific call of God on his life. Number eight, he works hard to provide for his family. Number nine, he's a protector for his family. Number 10, he lives the life of a good role model. And number 11, he has the wisdom of the Word of God in his life, and he seeks to share it with his children. So remember this, being a man, a real man, is much more than just being able to father a baby. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God, and he's seeking to fulfill God's purposes in his life. And that's an important goal to pursue, to live as men, but also to teach and instill in our boys. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious. They're to be honored and protected by us men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women. Real men do not take advantage of women. He respects a woman and will decide not to be involved with her sexually unless he's won her heart and put a ring on her finger in marriage first. Remember, a real man is a godly man who's decided to leave the ways of being a boy and to leave the actions and attitudes of boyhood behind. His mind, his thinking, his heart, his actions, and his attitude now seek to be that of a real man. Boys ask questions while real men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while real men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Real men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out and protect girls and women. Boys too often consider an object to be used, while real men see a woman as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while real men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them, while real men are looking for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is a waste of their time and it's too hard, but real men recognize the importance of and the value of an education and the importance and the value of gaining skills in life. They desire to be educated or to gain skills in order to reach their full potential. Men, let us be real men in this world, godly men. Let's do all we can to help raise up our boys to be godly men that will grow up to be a blessing to the world, a blessing to their wives, a blessing to their children as well. The world in which we live in is in tremendous need of faithful, godly men. Let us pray that God will raise up many of them who understand the important place that God has placed upon godly men in this world. Let's pray that God will raise up more and more men that will be men after God's own heart in the way they carry themselves in their walk with God, in society, and in the world as being ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us as the church, the opportunity that you give us as dads and moms, that you give us as granddads and grandmoms and persons in the church to help mold, shape, guide, and direct our boys to grow up to become godly boys that will be a blessing to the world. Lord, help us to take it upon ourselves to do all we can to help our children, to help specifically our boys to grow up to become godly men that love you, that love your word, men who are given to prayer, men who live with conviction of what the word of God teaches us, and men who seek to honor you in every part of life, men that will one day be a blessing to a wife, a blessing to a home and a family, men that will stand up for righteousness in the world and in our culture, who will speak out, who will stand up for that which honors God, that will be kingdom-minded men that will bless their own lives, bless their marriages, bless their families, bless their children, and bless the whole wide world. Lord, help us to know that in the Church of Jesus Christ, the need is great for us as men of God to be what you've called us to be, to do our part. Help us as men to do everything you've called us to do. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Anoint us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to be in your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience. And Lord, guide us in doing our part to help our boys be everything you want them to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've been looking at the topic of helping mold and shape our boys into godly men. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.